CD 11. Time passed. On 28th of March 1937, Catherine Donoghue and her family marked Easter Sunday, one of the most important dates in the Catholic calendar. Someone gave a gift of a timid-looking bunny rabbit to Mary Jane and Tommy, who were then aged 2 and almost 4. Tommy liked to paint, just as his mother and father had once done. He had a watercolour set that he played with often. Catherine took her communion gratefully from the visiting priest. She received it at home now, being unable to get to church, and prayed. Easter Sunday was all about Christ being reborn, salvation, hope, the repairing of a broken body. It was all the more horrible, then, that this was the moment Catherine's body fell further apart. Part of her jawbone, Hobart Payne wrote, broke through the flesh and came out into her mouth. Her tongue stumbled over it, unfamiliar object. Catherine picked it out with tears in her eyes. It was her jawbone. Her jawbone. It was so horrible, remembered her niece Mary. It just dropped out. I mean, it was just... You thought, oh dear God, can't even eat. Just so sad. Tom Donoghue was forced to watch his wife literally disintegrate before his eyes. It was horrifying. Yet, on this supposed celebration of renewal, Tom found himself renewing one thing at least, his desire for justice. And he knew just who Catherine needed to help her now. Her friends. Tom chose wisely the friend he reached out to. Just down the road from the Donoghue home, Marie Rossiter now took a call from Tom in her little home on West Superior Street. Tom asked her to call the former Radium Dial girls and find out if any of them might want to hire a lawyer. Marie was someone who would always take the bull by the horn. She herself once said, "My grandma wasn't scared of nobody," and she had inherited her grandmother's spunk. Marie was a fighter, revealed a close relative, while another added, "If she thought maybe she could help a person, she would get involved. She was a protector." And not only a protector, but a hugely popular girl. "She knew all the girls," recalled Marie's relatives, "and she was an organiser, all right." True to form, Marie launched straight into action following Tom's appeal, calling all the women. And now Charlotte Purcell took up the story, for although she was now living in Chicago, she was still very much involved, a faithful friend to the end. It was Charlotte who revealed that the girls they rang said no. No, they wouldn't help. For there were dial painters who didn't want to face up to what was happening. While there were countless people in the town who denied radium poisoning existed, the reasons for that denial could vary. "They pull back in fright," said Olive Witt, "asking if it's catching." Marie was frustrated by the townspeople's attitude. "She used to say," recalled a relative, "nobody wants to listen to us, and I think that hurt." Nonetheless, she kept trying with the dial painters and, in the end, a few did come on board with the fight for justice. "Marie kept right on it, all the time," revealed a relative. "She got the girls together. They were all friends, all working together for Catherine." That small band of girls now shot for the moon, targeting the best lawyer they had ever heard of. The women felt the approach would be best coming from the men who backed them, so Hobart Payne and Tom Donoghue wrote to the most famous American lawyer of the era, the one who always took the impossible cases.